Guten Erev Shabbos, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir number 152. We're talking about self-esteem, and we're talking about when one has self-esteem in a healthy way, they're not prone to anger. We started talking about that anger, and now we're going to go further with that and talking about what many faces of anger people have. Sometimes it's being verbally abusive, or ridiculing a spouse, a wife or husband, children, loved ones, friends. It could come, unfortunately, in the form of actual physical violence, hitting, kicking, slamming objects, hitting people. It could lead, chalila, to crimes of severe violence, murders, assaults, even rape, which is sexual in nature, but studies have shown that the motivating factor behind it is indeed anger, rage, in many cases. And to just say, oh, it's normal to be angry and just let it be, is very, very dangerous. It could be potentially very dangerous. That's one of the diseases in our culture. You watch television or movies or books, they popularize anger and violence as normal, which undermines the individual and undermines our society. When you say things like, he infuriates me, or you're aggravating me, you're basically choosing to allow that person to upset you, or I could kill him. You know, sometimes people, parents have to be very careful the way they use those words. I could kill him, I could clobber him, I could wipe them out. Those expressions tend to encourage anger or violence or make it acceptable, even in friendly competition when you use those words. Those are not healthy words. Anger may take the form of a temper tantrum. That's a very common expression of anger. It gets the tantrum thrower exactly what they want. They're mamish like a two-year-old that stamps their feet and yells and screams. So an adult does it in a more sophisticated way sometimes, but it's a temper tantrum to scare the one, the victim of it, into doing what they want. You could have employers doing that to their employees, rabbeim doing that to their students. Rebbe's going on a rampage with their chassidim, getting them all nervous about things, and so on and so forth. Another form of anger that's terrible is sarcasm, ridicule, or silent treatment. All of them. Could give a share on each one separately. Sarcasm is very, very dangerous. Somehow, I don't know how it came into it, because unfortunately I had some nameless mechanchim that use sarcasm. I don't think here and there to use it in certain situations is one thing, but if it drips, like it drips like poison, that sarcasm could really kill somebody. And I've seen rabbeim use sarcasm and murder their students as a result. So you have to be very careful, because it's a very addictive tool. If someone has that, it's latzanis, by the way. People think latzanis is just being happy-go-lucky, funny jokes. Sarcasm is the insidious aspect, the real poisonous aspect of humor. You could use humor in a very, very sarcastic way, and it destroys people. It destroys relationships. Sometimes you make a reward system already. You say it's kedai to be angry because of these reasons. It compensates. So, for example, one reason why would one want to feel angry, because if you find it difficult to handle yourself because you're feeling frustrated or you're feeling defeated, so then you could use anger to direct the responsibility for how you feel to somebody else, to a different person, or to an event, rather than taking charge of your own feelings. It's always the other person's fault. It's always somebody else. Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, took this to an extreme. He had his own rage and anger, and instead of directing to his own, fixing his own wagon of dealing with it, he directed it towards his target, which was Jews, Jew hatred. You could use anger to manipulate those who fear you. those who fear you. If you're in a parental, position, or in a mentor position, your anger can manipulate those who are afraid of you to get them to do what you want them to do. Oh, they disapproved. Anger draws attention. So you feel important. You feel powerful. You feel empowered. You're angry. Everyone's going to listen. Wow, you're noticeable. And it's a great excuse. Anytime you do something very harmful, oh, I went insane. I went temporary state. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself. And that's a common thing that people say. And we have to say, no, we could help ourselves. When you're afraid of intimacy or love, this happens in marriages a lot. You want to connect, but you're not connecting. You get angry at something, so you avoid it because you don't want to be intimate. This is strange because most people enjoy intimacy, certainly physical intimacy. But sometimes you're fearful of it, so you create an argument to create a distance between the two of you so you don't have to be intimate or loving. Or you can manipulate others with guilt. Like, well, how did you show like tremendous anger? And the purpose of it is that the other person that you yelled at or is the recipient of your anger, they're confused now. What did I do to make this person so angry? And they start feeling guilty. There must be a reason why they're so angry at me, and they start feeling guilty. And you enjoy that. You feel power. You mean you're happy that you showed an expression of anger to that person so that they should feel guilty and be controlled by you in that sense. And you feel powerful and you're happy to do that. Also, you could break down communication. Let's say you're having a reasonable dialogue with somebody. Somebody's explaining and knocking your arguments down with logic. You get very panicky. So you'll break down communication by saying something angry to break it off. You see this lahavdil with the difference between the left or the liberals, especially the left and conservatives, at least in the dialogue type world that I see it, it's very, very clear that the left and the liberal, they don't know how to argue a case, while the conservative generally does. So what does the liberal do? Instead of debating, they'll just break down the communication. You're a racist, you're a nobody, you're this, you're that. And that breaks off communication. Sometimes a husband and wife is the same thing. The wife is trying to get through to the husband, explaining something to them, and they'll blow up. Why are they blowing up? That breaks the communication. This way they don't have to listen, and they don't have to look at themselves in the mirror. So you have a choice. You can indulge in self-pity after you had an attack of anger, or you can feel sorry for yourself because no one understands you. Very often you could excuse the loss of that, temper with a simple, you were in a mood, whatever it is. Now, there are ways that you could replace anger. You get in touch with your thoughts. You try to postpone your anger. You wait. Mayor Wickliffe said this with a couple. If they had a certain argument over a disagreement that was really bothering the both of them, he suggested, unless it's an emergency situation, but other than that, wait 24 hours. 24 hours. At the end of 24 hours, you'll realize either you forgot what you really were arguing about, or it's much less of a big deal now. It's not even worth mentioning. And even if it is and it was a big issue, now you have the calmness to express it in the right way and work things through. And when trying to use anger constructively to teach a child, don't do that. No anger in your heart, but when you need to raise your voice, then you raise your voice when you have to. But don't experience those physical and psychological symptoms that go with anger. And remind yourself at the moment of anger that everyone has a right to be what he chooses, and that you're demanding anyone to be different is prolonging your anger. Yeah, there are times where you could work, it says, but again, that can't be out of anger. And there's many other eitzes, we'll talk about it. The traffic jam, to take your time and be more patient. Not to be an emotional slave to every frustrating circumstance that comes your way. Removing the expectations you have for others, that will take away a lot of anger. You don't have expectations from others. You expected them to do this and then they don't follow through. You get angry. No expectations. There's no anger. Understand, especially with children, they'll be active, they'll be loud. And so getting angry generally won't do any good. You just have to figure out a way to navigate everything in a healthy way. Going to be messiahing this with a Tanya, beautiful Tanya, Parakhaf Hay of the Igris Kaidish of the Tanya. And he goes through the Tzavos Baal Shem Tov and goes through this idea that the Arizal says, that Kol HaKoyes Kilu Oved Avodah Zarah. Someone is angry as if he's serving idols. Why? Because the Baal HaTanya says, the Fisha B'Shas Kasai, when you get angry, Nistalka Memenu HaAmuna, the Amuna, your belief in Hashem, is removed. Why? Ke'ilu HaYamayman, because if you would believe, Shema'es Hashem Haysa Zoy Sloy, that it's from Hashem that this occurred to him, then Loy HaYabakas Klal, then you wouldn't be angry at all. You wouldn't be angry. It's Men HaShemayim. And then he explains afterwards that even though a person has free will, and a person with free will is cursing you or hitting you, or is damaging your money, and so on, nevertheless, on the Nizik, the one who got damaged, it's a Gzerim and Hashemayim, and Harba Shluchim Lamokim. There are many ways that the Hashem could get this done. And then he says, even at the time that you're getting hit, Hashem's Levush is within it. For example, when David HaMelech says, Hashem Amalei Kalel, right? Hashem told Shimi to curse me, but he didn't. He didn't. Like the Baal Tanya says, the Hechin Amalei Shimi. Where do you see that these words were told to Shimi? Vayom Hashem al Shimi ben Gera. Hashem said to Shimi, Gera, go towards David and throw stones at him and call him names. No. Well, what does it mean that it comes from Hashem? Shemachshava zu shenafla l'Shimi. This machshava that fell into Shimi to be mevaza David HaMelech beliba in his heart, the moichai and his brain, yorda me'es Hashem, came down from Shemayim, this avir, v'ruach piv ha-mechaya kol tzva machaya ruach shemesh shel Shimi b'shasha divid varm eilu David. In other words, Shimi, even though he had free will, but if Hashem didn't want him to say this, he wouldn't have. So on David's side, he realizes that it's the recipient that he was, for whatever reason, deserving of this type of an embarrassment, and that removed any type of cast that he could have possibly had. So that also, by the way, we talked now just about how anger is a sign of not having enough emunah, because if you had emunah, you wouldn't be angry. It's min hashamayim. The truth is, the self-confidence that we're talking about all over now is also purely L'Shem Shemayim. And in the sense that if you use it the right way, I have healthy self-confidence because I have a soul. I have an neshama that's pure. And even though I may express anger at times, that doesn't define me. It's just that I lapsed in emunah. Hashem, you're in control. And that does wonders in just working through these things. And removing that devastating anger from our hearts and from our minds, and instead breeding an atmosphere of trust and love towards one another. Bracha v'atzlacha.